But it really gives you something to think about. All right, can everybody hear me okay? If you're just coming in there, somewhere in the back there is a packet of our PLDs, which we're going to reference later in the presentation. You're welcome to take a copy or several copies if you want to share them in your district. So we'll talk about the purpose of those, like I said, later on in the presentation. So welcome to the first morning session. Thank you for showing up for social studies. This is the Social Studies MSTEP Development Review and Updates. I'm Marianne French, and I'm from MDE, the Office of Educational Assessment and Accountability. I am the Social Studies Assessment / Education Consultant for the Social Studies MSTEP. And we have some people up here. Do you want to introduce yourself? Yes. So they're all here to offer support and answer maybe some questions that I have no idea about. So anyways, there has not been a lot of new movement with the Social Studies MSTEP. So today, we're just in our session overview, we're going to just look at the design, just review it, and anything that, what the processes that we go through every year to refine the Social Studies MSTEP. We did go through standard setting this past summer, and there was a lot of information that came out of standard setting that I thought would be valuable to share with you. Few key developments with the MSTEP, including the new OTT online tools training, and then looking ahead if you're interested in helping out in future committees. So to make this a little bit more interactive, if you see a hand symbol, then I'd like you to participate by raising your hand to see if we have any people with experience in the areas we're going to be talking about. And if you see a group of people, that's just a signal to take a moment to reflect on the question that I'm answering. You can reflect privately or through discussion with those around you. Maybe jot a note down if you're like, oh yeah, that's something I should take back to my district or to some teachers or administration. So, with that, we're going to get started. As far as designing and refining the Social Studies MSTEP, a lot of this information is stuff that's been out there for the last couple of years. I wanted to include it in the slideshow because I know sometimes the slideshows are taken back to your districts or companies, and you use that information to look at later on from the resources that are shared from the conference. So I'm not going to go into detail on all of these because I think this is information that is known. But as far as our MSTEP goes, the Social Studies MSTEP is a summative assessment, and it is aligned to our 2019 K-12 Social Studies standards, which were revised back there. But because of COVID and some of those years that came after COVID, our MSTEP was not fully aligned to those standards until 2024. So that brings us a lot closer to 2026 than 2019. We do hope in that time that our school districts around Michigan have aligned classroom instruction to those revised standards, because in 2025, there was a new assessment blueprint that was developed in, I think it was summer of 2024, that blueprint was aligned to the 2019 revised standards. So it would be pretty important to know that your social studies instruction and curriculum are aligned to those revised standards. There we go. All right, so as far as those content expectations go, remember they are revised. They were not replaced. So revisions were more of things may have been deleted that were repeated in different standards. They were combined. They were reorganized. They became more inclusive. The language did. And a stronger academic vocabulary came out. And it allowed for more examples that gave local districts more choice of how to teach and get at those standards. The C3 framework was a huge part of the revision, is as well as we heard this morning, DOK is something that comes up, and we're going to look at that in the next few slides, that depth of knowledge and how do we use that information as we plan for item writing of our assessment items. So in social studies, depth of knowledge is very prevalent, and this is your first think to yourself. So if you had to fill in those blanks, what would you fill them in with? The OK refers to what and not what. Second. It's pretty vague. I know I wouldn't give this vague question to students, but we're adults, so. So DOK refers to complexity, not difficulty. And I think often we see, you know, DOK 1, a lot of people, yeah, it's just a recall question. Not always. You know, you can have, it is a recall, but it doesn't mean that it's not a complex question, depending on the level. When we look at our PLDs, we're going to look at how DOK, it's a reflective lens to ensure complexity of learning expectations is clearly understood. And we see this in lesson design, content standards, and informative and summative assessments. So it might look a little bit different at each of those components, but it is a common language between all of them. So when we were doing the performance level descriptors, which is the packet that was on the back table if you took one, and teachers were going through trying to look at the complexity of our standards and trying to decide, okay, what would a partially proficient student look like versus a proficient versus advanced proficiency? It became all about the verbs in the DOK. Define, three branches of government could be a DOK 1. Explain something at DOK 2. Analyze at DOK 3, create something at DOK 4. So the complexity increases there. And there's that, it's all about the verb. So what does this look like when we're doing our MSTEP committee work? We encourage our item writers and our content reviewers to really look at, are we staying within DOK 2 and DOK 3 for the most part? Another way to look at this, how do DOK and C3 work together in developing standards and assessment? So if I was trying to look at a way to inform instruction or to look at, are my students prepared for this assessment, how do they work together? So this is a chart just sort of explaining, you know, these are the disciplines tested in social studies that are in our content standards. It gives you an example of a content standard, what a typical assessment question could look like. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean on the MSTEP. It could be a benchmark assessment. It could be a formative assessment. It could be a unit test. But it gives a good example of, okay, here's the C3 dimension from the C3 framework, and here's where it falls in line, that type of question, with the DOK level. So these are all resources that would, you know, are valuable to our item writers and helping them think about how can I get to that complexity without making it just recalling facts over and over again. So DOK provides a framework for cognitive rigor, and C3 organizes the inquiry-based learning into the four dimensions. So both are integral to our standards and assessment design. So as far as the blueprint impact on this, in June 2024, we had educators review all the revised standards and look at the impacts to their instruction. And they are the ones that evaluated and recommended the MSTEP blueprint update. So this is something that is available online. I have put a link in the slideshow to it. It's just showing you For each of the disciplines at each of the grades of the M-STEP is tested at how many items might come from that discipline. The 2025 Social Studies M-STEP and beyond reflects this blueprint. And we're always limited by our item inventory. Today's speaker talked about, you know, one question could have several, or one content standard could have several items in the item bank for it, but they have to go through field testing, they have to become operational, and that takes a long time to get an item to that point. We're gonna look at that too in just a moment. We have context sets now, and they've been out for a while on the M-STEP, and students are, you know, seem to perform well where they're giving a stimulus and 3 to 4 items to go with it. And those contexts take a long time to develop because each item that goes along with it has to become operational too. The remaining context or item counts on the M-STEP, once you get your context sets on there, are all independent items from various disciplines. And that's the link to this blueprint. As far as item types and samples, there's really no different item types on the items M-STEP for this coming year. You can have each item either, like I said before, is an independent item out of one of the disciplines being tested, or it's part of a context-based set. So of all the items, they could be a multiple choice, or they could be technology-enhanced items. So we have drag and drops, we have choice, which to you or me would look like a multiple choice item on a test, but choice being they could select one item, and it might have them select 2, 3, or 4 items from the answer list, where a multiple choice would only be one. We have drop downs, matching tables, matching connects. We have something we call hot text, which is where they're highlighting text, and then we have order. And then, of course, we have the context-based set, which would have the stimulus followed by any 3 or 4 of those items. So this is an example of what a context set might look like on the online version of the test. This would be your stimulus over here. You got a passage here and a graph. And then each of these are an item that would show up on the screen individually next to the context set. This has just been merged together to put on one slide. So the context is something that a lot of social studies instructors have been very interested in. My past year in this position, that's probably been the biggest topic that educators have reached out to me about these context sets and simple questions like, is this something I could do in my classroom? I'm like, well, yeah. I mean, it's not a new trend. You know, I hope you're using some kind of stimulus in your classroom to get that prior knowledge or find out where are your students on this topic. So a good context on the assessment would be a stimulus that activates prior knowledge and sparks inquiry. Gets your students thinking about, now how do I know this? Or where have I heard this from before? It's short. We encourage our item writers not to have we encourage 1 to 3 items in that context set. You know, there's been things where times when people have submitted like a map, a passage, a timeline, and we're like, whoa, the students are gonna get lost in this. Let's go back to the drawing board and can you get it down to 2 things? They are teacher created. And they may include examples of a broader idea or theme from the standards. So as we look through our inventory and our content standards, it's naturally the social studies curriculum or content standards are naturally grouped by themes, especially when you look at U.S. history. You have Era 4, Era 5, Era 6. So you see your item writers start to develop themes, context around those, and then they pull individual content standards into that theme to write items for. It's reading level appropriate. A good context is not a scavenger hunt, and it's not, you know, can we prevent students from going, where's the answer in this? I can't find the answer. That's something that maybe teachers should communicate. Hey, you're going to see these context sets, but they're not there for you to find the answers. They're there to help you remember. You're taking this test in grade 5, and it's information from grades 3, 4, and 5. So, you know, you should, you know, look at those contexts and think about, you know, what are you thinking about when you see that map or read that passage. It's not a classroom lesson. That goes to the length of it. It's not a literacy test. And again, it's not an answer key. They shouldn't be able to find the answer in the context. So this just gets into some of the items that go, that are on the MSTEP, the technology enhanced items that would go along as either an independent item or with the context sets. So this is an example. Oops, go back there. This is a drag and drop where the students are clicking on each of the items and putting dragging it to the appropriate column. This is a choice where they're clicking on 3 items for this one. This is an example of a drop down. So they would click on the drop down menu to figure out the choice there. And often as you get into, this is grade 5, in grade 8 and 11, you'd probably see more than one drop down. It'd be probably 2 that they'd have to fill in there. Matching table. This is matching connect, where they're clicking on each one side and connecting it with the other side. And you can see they can, if they're like, oops, I made a mistake, they can hit the redo buttons there or clear all to fix it. This is the hot text or text highlight, where it will tell them, you know, highlight 2 sentences that reflect, and this one's to select 2 sentences in the paragraph that represent rights protected by the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. And they have that feature also to clear or do the undo and redo. And then we have order, where this is part of a context set on the Toledo War. And then they're putting events in order. I think this one's chronological order. Yep. So let's talk about getting to these items. This kind of piggybacks off our presenter this morning about these item banks and how sometimes our data shows this, so let's reteach this over and over again until they get it, and then next year that item isn't on the test. It's a different content standard. And it's important that the kids are getting exposed to all the content standards. And then we're just not really zoning in on one specific one all the time, because developing our strong test items takes a long time. Like I said before, all of the items are teacher created and reviewed by our educators too. We write them and then we bring in different educators to do a review on the item and look at the data and review that. As more items are added, we can expand context sets in both field testing and operational settings. And we'll see a bigger graphic of this in just a moment. So this is what our item writers are tasked with. They will come in for social studies in March, and they'll be assigned, you have this content standard. And they have to take that from the standard to one of those items. With very little guidance from us. We have this DOK, we have, you know, we'd like you to use, make it in a context or make it an independent item. And they go from this, and by the time it goes through all the processes, it might look like this on our end and then up on the test. So we have describe ways in which the United States can be divided into different regions. They've decided, let's make it a matching, match each region in the United States with its description. And they've gone with the Midwest, Southwest, Pacific Northwest region with a description of each of them. And that's an independent item. They also, the more timely ones would be the context set. So this is the one, a larger view of the one I showed you previously. They go from creating the stimulus to developing the items that go with the stimulus. And they really can't develop the items until this has been approved. So this is, that looks like it's grade 8, world religion there. And you have an example of the map going with the stimulus, and then it looks like you have a choice, a couple different choice items. Yeah.
There are items that have a select to respond at the bottom.
Oh. Yeah, puts it full screen. Yeah. All right. So, anybody want to take a guess? How long does it take an item to become operational? That means goes through all of that. What do you think? 18 months? How many people does it take to develop an item from start to finish? Just throw out a number. 20. Sometimes it feels like that. Could be. All right, so this is what I would see on my end. This is a released item with some information redacted because we don't want names in there. But this is when the item was assigned to the item writer. All the way up to the very top one is when it is been loaded and approved to be used operationally. And you can see all the different people it's gone through. Content lead, the item writer, my team member, the media designer, the facilitator. This could be somebody from DRC, our testing company, that's working with it. We have an editor, back to a content lead. We have a psychometrician that deals with all the data and the statistics, which sometimes, back me up, Joe, we're like, okay, with the number part, we're like, so we have to do what now? And then it goes, you know, it just in the development lead is going to sign off on it, and then back to the psychometrician. So this is just one incident. So we could count all that, and you can look at every time there's a change to the item, it changes version number. So it started out here and ends up there. And you can see it's gone through field testing and all the way up there. So that is not an overnight process. Yes. Yeah. So 20 people, probably a good guess. 18 months, probably a great guess. But there could be, it could be a couple years. And then we run into a thing is like, okay, is the item becoming out of date? Do we need to update the information on it? Especially in social studies. We are a tricky beast. You know, where we're like, oh, sensitivity on this issue this year, you know, we need to pull that one. Or, you know, well, this has actually changed. This is not correct anymore. Or we're not a part of this anymore, and we're referring to it on the test. So, and then we have the whole vocabulary issue this year. You know, Gulf of America or Gulf of Mexico, or let's just not label it. You know, I don't know what to do. You know, it's so there's definitely some things that we've really had to think about in social studies that I'm sure we're not the only ones. So the point of this is expanding our inventory is a gradual process. And this is a quote from John. He doesn't realize it, but he's like, it's a gradual. It's not going to happen overnight. It's a gradual process. And that's where this comes back. We have to recruit and train teacher writers. We have to assign the standards. We have to write the context and items. They have to go through the edits or go on to graphics, which is a whole other department at MDE, which is wonderful. And you have to wait for those graphics, especially when someone, an item writer, is like, well, I can't find a map, but I'd like a map that shows trade routes that came off the Silk Road, you know, and they find it, and they do it, and they bring it, you know, and we come back, and we go back and forth, you know, well, too many labels, maybe can you not label this, or then there's the whole bias and sensitivity. Are these colors right? What's this going to look like in black or in white? Or what will this look like to visually impaired? So there's all those things that are happening in the background that take time to solve. Then it goes through content and item review from teachers or and educators. Then we have to review it again. There might be more edits to it that have to happen based on what those content reviews were. Then finally it gets to field testing, and after field testing and scoring, then it goes to data review with more educator input, and then maybe some edits are applied, or maybe it has to be re-field tested, or maybe it's ready to go and it's finally operational and it goes into our inventory. And this is how you have a valid and reliable test. If we just said, oh yeah, that item looks good, you know, that's probably not the smartest way to do it. And this I just threw in here too, just to remind you, with the social studies, the DRC Enhanced Student Experience document is still out there on our MSTEP webpage that outlines all the updated and design features of the assessment, which go in line with those accessibility guidelines, and there's a link to it here. You can have your students practice these features in our online tools training, which will be referenced in just a moment. Also, the MSTEP Social Studies offers the STAC Spanish version for your students that qualify for the Spanish test. So it's Spanish online test, Spanish narrator, and it's going to show you the Spanish text and then the English text below it. This is a designated support, which means it must be requested in advance, and it does, I'm correct in assuming, it does not need an IEP. So this is something testing coordinators should be made aware of. Ooh, deadline? I think it's March.
I'd have to find out from DRC. This might get ordered in the security
budget. Yeah. And I know if you go, because I was just in there last week in the MSTEP summative page for on the MDE site, there are documents that talk about accommodations. And I know if you click on any of those, it references, because we were looking up that text-to-speech question. And it did reference a deadline in there. So that's why I know it's March something. I just remember seeing that. And it does give you, and I think there's even a link to, because I accidentally clicked on it, and it's a form you can fill out online for that. So, STEC Spanish. All right. Is there any other questions related to design of the MSTEP before we go to the next topic? Yes. Yeah. I do review items. I'm one of the reviewers, but
we are at a point in our history with my academic social studies where we are behind where NSTEP was in terms of bringing the standards up to date. And part of the reason we do that is we start with the general assessment. And we, because the ultimate kinds of expectations are standards that say they are all the kind of expectations that are aligned to the A-plus standards, we want to make sure we don't have any issues, we're not having issues with revising the standards. So we go through the process of getting the general stuff down first. So last January, we had a group of educators come in to the draft, also have expectations for the last year of 2019. That has gone through, over the past year, some iterations and time to public comment. Right now we're in the editing process with that. So we're hoping to have those released in the next few months, I hope. And then we'll work on realigning the wording of, it'll mostly be a wording thing for my access. So my access, function independence is only that content at the grade level is so it's only fifth grade gender, so it's for video history. Same thing for eighth grade and high school, because the high school set of standards is all.
So a lot of the review for me that I flagged was the vocabulary that has been, was revised in the 2019 content standards, like indigenous peoples, stuff like that. So that, in the thought is that people need time to be able to introduce that for the functional, like maybe in parentheses for them. So that help? All right, so what happened with standard setting? So we had standard setting, did anybody attend standard setting here? Was anybody? We had a lot of people from across the state, educators, administrators, it was great. So that happened in summer 2025, educators from across Michigan participated to recommend the cut scores for the spring 2025 Social Studies MSTEP because of, well, it's going to say here, assessment was aligned to those revised content standards, so that would equal the need for standard setting. I had never been through a standard setting process, and I don't know if I'm nerdy or what, but I found it fascinating. And I don't know, it was because of the rich conversation that came out and the passion for social studies and a little bit of anger from especially our elementary folks about what is going on with social studies. So I'm not here to talk about instructing in schedules and all that for social studies. I'm here to remind us that, you know, the MSTEP social studies is a summative test that we have to give, right, by law. So, yeah. In a lot of element, it's saying, what about us? What about us? What about, yes, we can teach literacy in social studies, but what about us? What about us? You know, what about social studies? Doesn't anybody recognize the importance of us? So that was a big conversation, and it really helped with the bonding experience as they set out to set those cut scores and determine what the proficiencies were. So prior to that, the performance level descriptors, which is the packet that was on the back table that hopefully you received, the PLD's document was developed by teacher committees about a year ago, and it's a valuable tool for understanding the different levels of student proficiency across each of those social studies disciplines. So all three grade levels are in there that are tested. And what they were tasked with, the groups were tasked with, let's look at the content standards. And overall, if we group some of these standards together, what would a proficient student look like in U.S. history? What would we want proficiency to look like? So this does not show every single content standard. It's what teachers, and this went through several processes and trying to determine, okay, and we don't have not proficient on there because we're not looking at that. We're looking at the partial proficiency, which in my opinion is just as important. They're partially proficient in the standard. They know part of it, the proficient and then the advanced proficiency. The PLD document was used as a resource then at standard setting. So when they were having those rich conversations around their tables about where's the cutoff, what does the, you know, last partially proficient student look like versus the first proficient student? Where's the cutoff in the test? You know, and it was that, and they used these to sort of help with that determination. And again, to me, it comes back to the verbs. So these PLDs are now available to the field. They're posted on the MDE website on the summative page. The biggest thing is that not a curriculum. I'm telling you, when you give teachers in a room and you're like, here's this, they're like, can we take it with us, please? Can we have it? You know, I'm like, I get it, because there's not a lot out there for social studies teachers right now. I retired after 33 years of a middle school social studies teaching, and in my last 15 years, I think there was one conference I could go to. There just wasn't any PD out there. And I got involved with item writing committees. I'd been doing it for like 20 years, and I'm like, it was the best. I made my superintendent buy into it. I'm like, look it, I go there and I find this out. And what it got me is I was then the, well, you're gonna be on school improvement now, and you're gonna be, you know, the department chair. But I didn't care. I got more out of being on the committees for this MSTEP. It taught me, I had to deep dive into the content standards. I got to talk to people from across the state. I got to develop items, and then it changed my whole mindset when I was in the classroom of how I designed my own assessments and pushed for, you know, am I really using my information correctly in the classroom, the content standards correctly? Is there a different way to do it? So that's my plug. Get your teachers involved in the review committees or item writing. But the document's not a curriculum. And that's the one thing you have to put the brakes on that. Like, this is just a resource about proficiencies. It's how we should be looking at the standards with those proficiencies in mind. Not, okay, we gotta make sure we have to teach this column in by grade 5 to everyone, because you'll be missing out on some of the big ideas if you do that. So this is an example out of each of them from each grade level. And you can see, again, partially proficient, proficient, advanced. I'm not going to read through these since you have them in front of you. But, again, look at the verbs. You know, these are teachers saying, well, you know, at partially proficient, they're just identifying or demonstrating some knowledge or a limited knowledge, whereas proficient, they're given basic knowledge or they're explaining something, a purpose. And then advanced, they're able to apply it at a higher level or they're able to evaluate it. Again, there's a link in the blue there if you get a copy of this slideshow, where to find this document too if you wanted to make copies. So think about this, because this is my, I mean, is there teachers in here? Administrators? Curriculum people? All right, so questions to consider. How might this document be beneficial to your district? You know, is this something they're like, I just got a handout from here? Or who should have a copy of this in your district? You know, write down on it right now. I need to make sure this gets into X, Y, and Z's hands. Because they probably don't even know it existed. And every time I do a committee for DRC, when we do item writing or review, there's always those new people that come in like, I had no idea there was this, or I didn't know this was there. I didn't know there was online tool training. It's just amazing to me that there are sources out there that will be very beneficial at the classroom level. How can understanding content proficiency levels benefit your staff? I think this kind of piggybacks on what our presenter this morning was saying about, you know, we get so, we're looking at the data. You know, are we looking at our standards? Are we looking at what proficiency levels look like? So this is what John was talking about, these conversations that came up in the standard setting where the participants could give feedback. It was like an online survey, I think. So we weren't necessarily, because you couldn't be in all the rooms at the same time. In fact, we had to step back and let the standard setting team do their thing. So we were more of observers. And so then I went back and was looking at the comments, and this is where I started gathering, wow, these educators have a lot to say. So some of the highlighted conversations were, you know, again, it's out, why are we giving the assessment? You know, what's the purpose of MSTEP social studies? It doesn't count towards our scores like math and language arts, but we have to remember it's part of a balanced assessment system. And we need to acknowledge that, you know, the standards are being taught in the districts. So, but we also need to remember it serves as a gauge to identify potential problem level issues. So if there is an issue when you're looking at your data, you know, there are other things we should be doing too, like benchmark and formative assessment processes are appropriate tools to provide deeper insight into specific needs. So if you're like, man, our students are just not getting any of the world history. They just don't, you know, go back into those classrooms and find out, you know, is there a formative practice, Mary Helen, yeah, right, that could be used to find out, because just one test isn't the answer. This was the big one, the balancing priorities. The educators really emphasized the importance of teaching social studies. However, we heard over and over again from our elementary people this expressed concern about limited instructional time. And I just attended a national conference online with CCSSO. This is a national trend. I'm part of the Social Studies Collaborative, and they were like, what's going on here? Where there's a need to bring back robust elementary social studies programs. And that's what they were saying. The thing is, there are some districts doing it in the state, because we had educators stand up and say, our district's doing it. So my counterpart that does social studies curriculum, they're actually surveying districts and trying to figure out where are those elementary programs in the state of Michigan that are having success getting social studies and science into the daily program? They're at the early stages of that and trying to find those districts and get that information out to maybe model some of those schedules and share that. So our scores this year was in when we came out with the cut scores, which finally I think came out in August. This is reflective in the, you can't really read this because I understand it's small, but the elementary scores were much lower than middle and high school. Is this reflecting the, you know, we have designated time in the secondary levels versus not all elementary schools do have that designated time? But the big thing is people started comparing the scores from last year to this past year or the year before, and we're like, these are new cut scores. It's like comparing apples to oranges. So it was a very important message to get out, looking at, especially when you look at how the difference between the year before and last year in grade 8 was a huge growth. It's because of the revised standards and those new cut scores. There is a document out there, MSTEP, what do the scores mean, that we have referenced several times. I'm sure our data people are referencing this, but this resource is available to people to help them understand what those proficiency levels mean. And this is, again, a document, as a teacher, this would have been really helpful for me to know and help me understand proficiency. So we're not going to give the solution. The assessment department's not going to give the solution to lack of instructional time, unfortunately. But there were a lot of conversations about exploring these strategies, such as integrated instruction, dedicated scheduling, resource development, to ensure students receive meaningful social studies learning experiences aligned to our content standards. And I have recently seen an uptick in regional workshops, like at ISDs, related to social studies. So that's good news. So this was what kept coming up. Given the broad content covered in grades 5, 8, and 11, I mean, they're each covering a span of 3 classroom years, how can social studies teachers use stimuli to boost engagement and activate prior knowledge like context-based sets? So this is as close to instructional advice, instructional advice as that I'm going to get, but this came out of standard setting. These teachers started sharing, well, this is what I do, this is what I do. And these are some sample stimuli that you might see on a social studies MSTEP. Maps, historical photos, documents, timelines, political cartoons, charts, graphs, quotes, excerpts, or passages. And this is what they started talking about. Well, these are some of the things we could do by grade level. You know, use simple images or short texts in grade 5. Grade 11, start analyzing speeches. I suspect people are already doing this, right? Use stimuli to spark talk and connect to prior learning. Stimuli to start and or build inquiry-based lessons. Frame lessons around compelling questions. What does the map tell us about migration patterns? I know as a social studies teacher, a lot of times, my students just needed time to talk about stuff. And maybe that's because that's how I learned, and that's how I remembered things. So I remember seeing this and remember he's talking, you know, those types of things. Graphic organizers are always a plus if they're used appropriately. Vertical collaboration, which this one came out of the grade 11 group, I think. Share effective stimuli across grade levels to build that continuity, where they're like, sometimes it's helpful to hear what the elementary and middle school people did, because sometimes at the high school level we're so, zoned in on just economics or just government, and it helps to hear what they did to spark a little bit more interest from their students or get them a little bit more involved and maybe go back. What's a see, think, wonder? You know, could I do that in a 10th grade classroom? Well, yeah. So I want you to think about if this was a stimuli, what compelling question would you build from this stimulus? So here we have geographic regions of settlement in colonial America. Colonial regions. And then you have some climate information next to it. So this particular stimulus was created by a teacher, probably for grade 5 or grade 8. Grade 5 or grade 8, I have to think about that. So that's what they started from. And then, with this theme in mind, they'd already picked out some content standards that were going to go along with this. And this is what the graphic artist or the composition team came up with. These are the questions that go along with it. Which best describes the southern colonies? We have some answers there. They have a matching table. Match the economic activity to the colonial region where it mainly occurred. So, again, the stimulus is not providing the answer, but it's making them, okay, if the climate is this in this area, then what economic activity, what jobs would they be able to do in that area? Or I know it's colder as you go up, warmer as you go down. We have a drop-down. Select the correct answer from each drop-down menu to complete the sentence. Like many of the first English immigrants to come to the New England colonies, my family and I came in search of blank. We have a small farm, but my uncle also came to New England and has become wealthy, not as a farmer, but through blank. So they need to know. They should be looking up there. So this is just one example. This is a released item. Obviously, I wouldn't be showing you an item that's on the current test. So this is the question that I told you. It keeps coming up. People are like, is it okay to create interim district classroom assessments using a context set design, or are we copying you? And my answer is, like, this is not new. You know, it's using a stimulus to promote inquiry is not a new trend. Is it something that I would be doing in a social studies classroom? Absolutely. Again, it's a great way to check that depth of knowledge, activate some prior knowledge, and make connections across the content standards. So you have one stimulus that's drawing in three different content standards here. So there are examples available in the online tools training of these sample sets, too. This is grade 5. So any questions that came out of standard setting? And a couple more things here, and then we're going to be done. All right. So some key developments this year. It's been kind of a slower year for social studies coming in from January last year. I think I had 5 or more things, committee things, standard setting, and this year there's only 3. We're just back to normal test cycle stuff. One of the key developments in the past year is the online tools training has been updated for social studies. So here's a question for you. Is your district using the online tools training? And if you're like, I have no idea, just you don't have to raise your hand. If you're like, how many of you are familiar, though, with the OTT? Whew, good. Are your teachers familiar with it? I came from a district, I won't tell you where I taught, where I was told, oh, the math teachers can do that during their time, or the English teachers, language arts, they can, we'll just let them do that. I'm like, well, there's a social studies OTT, and there's a science OTT. Yeah, just let them do it. It's just using the tools. It's just figuring out how to use the tools. They can do it. And I was a little bit of a spitfire. I'm like, no, I'm going to do it. You know, I think we should be doing them in advisories, or I think it's important that they do the online tools training for that subject in that class, because they look different for each of the subjects. And I loved my math teacher I worked with on my team, but did I have confidence that he would point out certain social studies things in the OTT that I could see that maybe he's not seeing? So its new updates were launched in mid-October. They aligned with that social studies blueprint. So we added items to better represent each item type. So there should be items that show each of those technology-enhanced ones. And we included an additional context set in each of them. The main purpose of the OTT is to help students get familiar with the tools and features used in that assessment. And I want to remind you, the OTT is available to anyone. It's online, so parents can access it. It's not going to be a duplicate of the test. A question arose about, oh, the OTT reads it out loud to them, but do they get read out loud on the main test? No, that's a designated support. But it's online that way because you don't know who's accessing it. Is it a special education teacher or student? Is it a parent, a student? So it's not a direct duplicate of the M-STEP itself. But the main purpose is to get familiar with the tools. The secondary purpose is to show students and staff the different item types, explain what a context set is, and demonstrate how standards may be assessed on the M-STEP using released items. There is an annotated answer key available. This is one thing that I found out. Teachers don't realize there's an answer key that goes along with it. I am pushing for the answer key to be on the OTT or a link maybe to so the, because a lot of times, even though you're practicing, it'd be nice to say, hey, did I get that answer right or wrong? So that's the testing component or company component, and I know that has been talked about. It's not a feature this year, however. Question? We select the items to use on it at MDE, and then they put it in the test engine. Yes.
And then, like, let's say I only want to do a few of credit.
Yeah.
Some more companies can do that, so in advance, we can pay the check that we're looking for after the time.
Yeah. I know that's been a concern in the past, too, so definitely something to bring up at our design meetings. Thank you. There's going to be an updated Spanish OTT also, and that is not posted yet. I believe it's in process, and it's only for grade 5 at this point. Maybe next year we'll expand it to grade 8 and 11. But right now the old OTT for Spanish is available. So this is an example of the answer key that's been updated for the OTT. It includes the correct answer, the content standard that the item aligns with, and an explanation of why the answer is correct. So this is, again, found on the MSTEP summative page. But if you have access to the slideshow, just click the links. It's a lot easier. But again, this is something nobody ever told me there was an answer key to the OTT. You know, I learned it through committee work. I'm like, oh. You know, and then we updated this year to add in the explanation and the content standard that each of the items, and these are released items from the MSTEP, so they've been, items have been tested, they just maybe fell out of date or we used them too much, so we're releasing it to the online tools training. This one, if you want to know more about it, we do have some data sessions in the next couple days here. The spring 2026 reporting social studies subscores will be reported using the same categories as the other content areas, above standard, at or near standard, or below standard. This change allows the social studies to appear on the demographic subscore report and reported the way the other disciplines are, or content areas are reported. So questions regarding this change can be directed to the OEAA or the test administration and reporting. And I know there's a little bit of more on that in one of the sessions. I don't remember if that's today or tomorrow, however. Any questions about key developments? All right. Finally, this is always my push, looking ahead for social studies. So John already covered this, the MyAccess social studies expectations are going through a revision process. And this just shows the timeline and the edits have been made and they're reviewing and approval of them by MDE leadership is currently going on. And they're hoping by spring, summer of this year, they'd be published for use. So the majority of changes are related to language and there's no anticipated changes to the social studies MyAccess blueprint through this. And lastly, anybody been on a committee in here before for MSTEP social studies? All right. So who's sitting back there? I recognize you. Huh? What's your name? Okay. I recognize you. Yes, I think so. So recruitment of educators to review and write assessment items has increased. That was kind of my dog and pony show last year. I'm like, we need more people. And I'm a West Sider, and so I was really trying to get more people in from the west side of the state. because I really feel like there's a lot of representation on these committees from the east side of the state in the center, but not so much from the west side. So I was trying to build up some of that. So it's very important when we choose people from four committees, we have people from each of the regions. We have people come down from the UP, from northern Michigan, east, west, central. So we're hearing all those different perspectives of our state. Serving on an item writing or review committee is excellent professional development, and participants are compensated or they can get reimbursement for subs. These are the dates for social studies this year. There's three opportunities for MSTEP development. So item writing is coming up in March 10th through 12th. Our other dates occur during summer. I know schools, the item review, June 2nd through 4th, some schools, that's their last week of school, some they're not. We typically have people come that week, though. We haven't had a hard time getting people. And then item data review is August 4th through 6th. So I want you to think about, do you know a social studies educator or professional who would bring valuable insight to one of our committees? You can reach out to me, or again on that link, it shows you where you can apply. But if you're sitting here thinking, man, Joe, high school Joe, he needs to be involved in this. I'm going to get this information to him when I get back to the district on Friday. Or, you know, who is it that would help us? If you're just like, there's that one person that could help us develop quality items, we'd love to have them. And they do have, they have to fill out an online application, but they can still reach out and we can send that to them if they can't find it online. And we're always looking for special educators, especially with VI background, ELL background, to help serve on our bias and sensitivity committees also. The other thing, just how are we supporting social studies teachers, especially at the elementary level, looking for support and maintaining a balanced curriculum that includes social studies while meeting the increasing demands for literacy improvement. So this has been a big thing, and this is where I see my counterpart, Scott, in curriculum. They're really looking into this, like I said, looking at schedules of elementary schools across the state. Where is robust social studies already, where does it already exist? Can we model that for some other districts? So with that, there is a social studies hub for resources there if you're looking at a way to build up social studies resources. If you have any information, this is the OEAA contact information, and you can reach me through my information posted at the beginning of the slideshow. Any questions? Oops, I'll go back to that. All right, I didn't think I would take the whole time, but I did. So good questions though, and definitely we will take up your point about the OTT. We have to listen to all those instructions too every time we go in, just so you know, so we know the frustration. Thank you for coming. And I hope you took something away about the MSTEP social studies. Yeah.